Hi, everyone, and welcome to Unshaded for the Road Forward, brought to you by Auto Trader and Kelley Blue Book. I'm your host, Jade Terriberry, Senior Director of Strategic Planning at Cox Automotive, and it is that time for another relevant and timely conversation with one of my very favorite industry leaders to cover the automotive trends and hot topics that should be on every modern dealer or OEM's radar like yours for a smoother and more successful road forward. So today is a really special episode for me, because this is a special Father's Day episode. I have with me today my dad, Chip Thomas. Besides being my dad, he is a legend in the automotive industry. Master sales trainer, was in sales for over four decades, 41 years at the same dealership in Northeast Tennessee. Achieved accolades, the list goes on and on. 1992 American Honda National Walkaround Champion, top 10 Honda salespeople nationally in the 80s and 90s. Number one Honda salesperson, number one group salesperson for the organization that he was in for four decades, the entire time he was there. Twice was an NADA convention workshop speaker and was featured in six American Honda national sales training videos. And many of you have heard me talk about sitting in my high chair at age two, watching him practice for those. And a lot of that shaped who I am today and my love for this industry. And so I am quite glad to have you here with me today, Dad.
Thank you, Jade. It's an honor and privilege to be here with you today, and I'm excited about sharing my thoughts about current industry situation and how important it is to retain salespeople and provide a world-class customer experience.
Sure is. So I want to start out by saying that besides being my dad, one of the reasons why I invited you on this episode is because our dealers are experiencing a really different market today than they have for the last 4 years. It has been a strong seller's market, and there's been a lot of profit on the table.
Right.
And there still is. We see that the market is still going strong. However, we are in this emerging buyer's market that we haven't seen in a really long time,
right,
which means the basics of selling have to be top of mind for all of our dealers and all of our clients. And you have surely proven over your four plus decades in automotive that the foundational elements of sales, making connections with people, can weather any market or any situation.
Right.
And so I have heard you say many times over the years that one of the keys to this business is substance, not show.
Right.
And that comes down to the relationships and trust that salespeople, the people who interact with your customer all day, every day, build with your client base and anybody who has an opportunity to interact with your brand or your inventory. So tell us a little bit about what that really means, substance, not show.
Well, what it means is that salespeople must realize it's still a people business. And if you provide world-class service, world-class professionalism, and a world-class experience, people can and will pay a fair, reasonable, healthy gross profit. I think too many salespeople there for 3 or 4 years became order takers because of the market conditions, big demand, low supply, and they skip steps. And it's so important for dealers to train and teach their salespeople, to do a proper meeting and greeting, qualifying, interviewing, needs analysis, consultation, product presentation, proper demonstration, introduction to service department. And I think people got in a habit of skipping steps, and now we have to get back to those basics. And salespeople do not fail of their own accord. Too often it's a team effort. Salespeople are allowed and enabled to fail because of a lack of training, leadership, guidance, and supervision.
Well said. So now I know the journey to get to where you are now as the principal of Chip Thomas Consulting was paved with hard work and an awful lot of selling. Over 7,500 new and used cars sold over that time. Gosh, that's a big number. Could you share with us what you did consistently? Mm-hmm. And I know there were a lot of things, and it's okay to name all of the big ones, to be number one for so many years.
Absolutely. The number one reason people fail in sales is they don't manage their time and activities effectively. And the second biggest reason is they don't develop their own clientele. So I realized in the very beginning when I started selling cars in 1981, I was actually still in college and worked part-time till I graduated, that if I took each and every person that I sold a car to and recognized that they were my best source of future business, because someone who's bought from you has already proven five things. They like you, they trust you, they like your product and price, they like the dealership, and they have the ability to buy. Why wouldn't we stay in touch with those people and build relationships?
You're exactly right. So I also want to say this out loud again. You are at the same dealership for 41 mm-hmm. years. And I keep saying it because that is almost unheard of mm-hmm. in our business. Most people listening know how hard it is to retain talent mm-hmm. in an automotive organization. So what would you say were some of the reasons that you stayed in one place for such a long time? But what is that secret sauce that dealerships are missing today that creates the turnover numbers we have in this business?
They have to emphasize to salespeople, you've got to stay at one store. You can't hop around, and you build relationships with your customers. You want to make your customers ambassadors for you and your store as a salesperson. You want to have them want to send you every friend, relative, neighbor, and coworker they have. You want them to come back and buy again and again and again. I have families, I've sold 15 cars throughout their family network, 20, 25, some in the 30s. And it's because I stayed in touch and I built relationships with those people. And too often, salespeople are just in it for the short term. It's slam somebody in a car and then forget about them. When I sold someone a car, I knew I needed to make it special, memorable, exciting, and impressionable, because that's what enacts loyalty, is exceeding people's expectations. So anytime I sold a car, I filled up balloons with helium, tied it under the wiper arm to make it special. I took a picture every time I sold a car, even back in the 80s. And I put one copy in a photo album by my desk, and I mailed the customer a copy. Every single time, I sent a handwritten thank you card. Of course, in addition to calling them and texting or emailing, a handwritten thank you card. And then within 30 days, they're going to get not only the handwritten thank you card, they were going to get the picture and the picture card. And I sent gifts. I sent cookies for years and years and years to my clientele. And if you thank people properly, adequately, and sufficiently, they're blown away by it. And they never forget that experience. Now, the reason I stayed so long at one store, if you want your salespeople to develop a loyal clientele, they have to exceed customer expectations. The only way they will do that is if the dealer, the business owner, exceeds their internal customers' expectations, which is their employees. So you have to do a better job as dealers in not only recruiting salespeople, but retaining your salespeople. It costs you so much every time you lose a salesperson, $20,000, $30,000 if they've been with you a year or two, in my opinion. And we know what we spend on advertising. To sell somebody a car you've never sold a car to before, it's $300 to $500, if not more. To sell a repeat customer a car, it costs hardly anything because they're coming back because of the relationship with the salesperson and hopefully to the service advisor.
And they're generally not only your highest gross because mm-hmm. they trust you, they believe in you.
Right.
They're your highest gross trade-ins when you go sell them again because right. you have every service record. Mm-hmm. You know the history. You can tell yeah. the story to the next person that's getting ready to right. buy it yeah. of the history of the vehicle. And correct. We know right now with inventory acquisition as tight mm-hmm. and challenging as it is for, right. for dealers, that those trades and that lifetime value of a customer are more important than they've ever been before.
Exactly.
So I know a big part of your philosophy mm-hmm. has always been building a business within a business. And so can you tell our listeners and viewers, what exactly does that mean and why you've built a business now around training salespeople and organizations on correct. It?
Sure, be happy to. I've always expressed to salespeople in my workshops and seminars that it's kind of like this. Let's say I'm the car dealer and I'm interviewing you, Joe, to sell cars for us at our store. Joe, we're thinking about hiring you to sell cars for us here at our dealership. And if we do, I'm going to set you up today in business for yourself. Joe looks at me and says, Chip, Mr. Dealer, what are you talking about? I thought I was just interviewing to sell cars. Well, you are, Joe, but as the dealer, here's what I'm going to do for you if I hire you. I'm going to provide for you a workspace out in my showroom, and I'm not going to charge you any rent on it, Joe. How does that sound? Joe says, that sounds pretty good. Joe, I'll tell you what else I'm going to do for you. I'm going to provide for you all your pens and papers and manuals and documents and computers, and you don't have to pay for any of that either. Joe's thinking, this is starting to sound really good. Joe, I'll tell you what else I'm going to do for you as the dealer, as the business owner. I am going to provide all your inventory, all these cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. I'm going to buy them from the manufacturer. The bank will advance me the money to do so. I'm going to pay interest on that money until we sell them. It's called floor plan interest, thousands of dollars. And guess what? You don't have to pay for any of that either. Joe stops me at this point and says, gosh, Chip, Mr. Deere, this sounds too good to be true. How much capital do I have to put up? Because normally if you start a new small business, you have to put up a lot of capital. Well, I'm not going to ask you to put up a dime, Joe. As a matter of fact, I'm not finished. I'm basically going to make you the president, so to speak, of Joe's car sales inside of my dealership, and the vice president and the marketing director and the account manager and so forth and so on. Tell you what else I'm going to do for you. I'm going to do all your advertising. I'm going to spend tens of thousands of dollars in advertising every month, radio, TV, newspaper, internet, and billboard, to let the public know that we're down here and what we have to offer. And you don't have to pay for any of that either. Joe's thinking, this is sounding better all the time. And Joe, here's the very best part. In setting you up to own and operate, so to speak, Joe's car sales inside of my dealership, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to provide a full and complete support staff, management teams in sales, service, parts, reconditioning, and administrative. They're going to be here to serve and assist you all day, every day in operating Joe's car sales, and I'm going to pay all their salaries. I mean, that's the way I always thought of myself at Bill Gatton Honda in Bristol, Tennessee. I owned and operated Chip's car sales inside of that dealership. The beautiful part was the dealer made the multi-million dollar investment. He took all the risk. All I had to do was show up every day for 41 years and do my job. And I absolutely had it made. And that's what I want to impress to dealers. And that's what I always impress to management and salespeople when I go into a dealership or conduct a workshop. Is that you must emphasize to your salespeople, create a business within a business.
Yeah, you got it. I've heard you give the example quite a few times in my life. It's actually a pilot example, which, as many of you know, my little boy, good old Chip's grandson, Braden, is at Aviation Academy. Mm-hmm. And so an airplane reference for how dealers bring salespeople into their organization. We can talk a little bit about recruiting if you would like, but when they tell you they're going to train them, because you talk to a lot of dealers, and this blows my mind every time, but it's such a great example of how our clients need to be thinking about recruiting, telling the story Chip just told about how they are setting these salespeople up for success, not just as a short-term job, but as a career. The automotive industry is an amazing vertical to be in. Mm-hmm. We are all, if you're watching this, you're proof of how powerful this business can be and how important it is to families that get involved in it. They never leave. Once auto's in your blood, it is in your blood if you do it the right way. So give us that example and tell us how dealers should be thinking about it.
I've had so many dealers over the years, no disrespect, but tell me, Chip, I would love to have my people go to training, maybe go to your workshop, but I'm just afraid I'll spend the money to train them and then they'll leave. And I always want to say, with all due respect, Mr. Dealer, the only thing worse than that, don't train them and have them stay. That's what I would do. And then the tens of thousands of dollars you're spending advertising to get the customer in the door, they get totally mishandled once they get there by an untrained, unprofessional salesperson. I never have understood that. And the other example I give, they'll say, well, I'm going to give them 6 months, and if they make it, then I'll train them. And I'm always like, well, that would be like somebody wanting to become a pilot. And I'll say, well, Joe, you get in that jet right there, and if you can fly from New York to Los Angeles without crashing, we're going to train you to be a pilot. It's about that crazy. We have to do a better job of training our salespeople. They don't fail of their own accord. It's usually because of a lack of training, leadership, guidance, and supervision.
You got it. So with the market dynamics have changed so much in the last 4 years. As we get close to wrapping this up, what would your number one piece of advice be for salespeople that happen to be watching this episode?
Stay at the store you're at now. Come in each and every day with an action plan. You cannot come in and waste half your day waiting for something to happen. There's three kinds of people in this world: those that make things happen, those that watch things happen, and those that wonder what the heck happened. I still say it's the number one problem that dealerships have, that dealers have, is that 70% of the people affiliated with the sales department waste, W-A-S-T-E, 50% of their day every day talking about something or doing something that has nothing to do with selling a car. You've got to go in there with a plan of action, stay busy, prospect, learn your inventory, make your phone calls, send your text, your emails, stay in touch with the people that you've sold. I was sending 100 birthday and anniversary cards per week at one time to my clientele at Bill Gatton Honda. It's no wonder I didn't have to take a walk-in the last 30 years I was there. People want to deal with somebody they like, trust, that they can count on.
Yes. So I want to wrap this up by asking one final question, the most important one. If you could go back and relive one of the hundreds of accomplishments and accolades in this business, what would it be and why?
There wouldn't be just one. You know, I was honored and flattered to win the Honda National Walk-Around Competition back in 92. I was honored to speak at the NADA convention in San Francisco in 08 and New Orleans in 09. But probably what I'm happiest about and my greatest accomplishment is making so many thousands of customers happy and helping them get what they want, which is all selling is.
Yeah.
Figure out what the person wants and help them get it. That's all it is. I've always felt I was more of a counselor, a psychologist, and a problem solver than a salesy person, because that's the way you have to look at it. And probably beyond that, my biggest accomplishment in my life has been my lovely daughter and her success.
Well, many of you can see after watching this, much of what I am made of comes from watching this man be a master at his profession for so many years. So now as we wrap up, what will go down is one of my most favorite conversations on our Unjaded series ever. Thank you, Dad, for being with us today. And I want to say thank you, as always, to our listeners. I want to extend a huge thanks to all of our watchers, to Unjaded for the Road Forward. Don't forget to sign up to be a subscriber to this series, when you can be one of the first to hear when a new episode like this one is released, as well as receive subscriber-only bonuses by going to b2b.com/unjadedfortheroadforward, as well as access to incredible previous episodes on trends and hot topics and new ideas and solutions to help all of us in the automotive business. As always, I'm Jade Terriberry, your host, and I'd like to thank you for joining us on Unjaded for the Road Forward. Be sure to tune in next month as we'll continue to open conversations with industry leaders, champions, and disruptors on what they are currently seeing, doing, and forecasting is coming next on the road ahead for all of us in the auto industry. As always, we are cutting through the noise to drive real results for you.